I remember like first 2 weeks or something, went on a trip to Swansea. So we had a big night out in Swansea. So it's like, that's the best way to gel it, really. You'll get a bus down somewhere and have a night out. You can't get much better than that, can you? I did well and I thought I could be playing the next game and I wasn't. And I just said, I really want to play. It's like, I just don't want to sit on the bench. I think we had a game against Evesham at home in the pre-season friendly and I didn't tell anyone. I just turned up with it. walked in the change rooms and then there was a picture with me and Tim in the background and everyone said I've copied the gaffer's hair.
Hello everyone and welcome to the High Press Podcast. It is season 2, episode 39, and it's the second instalment of our three-part mini-series, maybe we could title it, Rob, of featuring some of Worcester's players for the season just gone by. Last week we had Jamie Douglas, and if you haven't listened to that already, would highly recommend it. I know Aaron Roberts has been fairly critical of the Stephen Gerrard comparison on Twitter this week, which has been good to be a part of that. This week we welcome Worcester Loney and current Hal Zoe midfielder Billy Shaw. Billy, how are you doing, my friend?
Very good, thank you. Guys, how are you?
Yeah, very good, very, very right. Well. Rob, how are you doing today? We all good?
Yeah, loving it, man.
Are we still confident that Villa will fight off the relegation fears going into the next few weeks?
I'm not, no.
It's not happening. Unfortunately, I think you'll be in the Premier League next season, but we can live in hope, can't we?
Yeah.
Right. go on. I felt like you had something on the tip of your tongue then. Go on.
No, I was just going to say hope of Premier League football, something that... You don't get the Hawthorns.
It's something very distant from my hopes, believe me. But you have to take the pain from other clubs when it comes along. But we'll move swiftly on into our first segment, which today is starting 11. So, as I'm sure you all know by now, it is 11 quickfire questions that we throw at our guest, of course, today, Billy Shaw. This or that questions, just a bit of lightheartedness to get the episode underway. And for that, I will hand over to my co-host Rob to kick us off.
Straight in, Billy. What team do you support?
Bournemouth City.
Oh, dear. Two Blues fans in a week. I didn't know you was a Blue Nose as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you've got on well with Dougie this year, or maybe not so much after this season's affairs.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few Blues fans. I think Robbo's a kind of a Blues fan.
No, Robbo's Albion. Robbo's Albion, mate. Come on. Yeah, he was Albion. Oh, at least he told me he was.
Oh, God. Something else to me.
Next question: Man United or Liverpool?
United.
Any reason why?
I just grew up in that era where you had Ronaldo, Rooney, Tevez, yeah, tearing it up. Liverpool were average, weren't they? They're just Gerrard and Torres carrying them a little bit.
Yeah,
I just love watching United. Scholes and Rooney, unbelievable team that was. And I think they won it like. They just kept winning.
Yeah. I would give that exact answer, you know, growing up on that era, like Vidic and Ferdinand,
yeah.
You know, Everett left back here, your midfield, then Ronaldo, Tevez, Berbatov, Rooney. Incredible front line. Incredible.
Yeah. No, Bebe as well, don't forget. Anyway, if you discovered an animal, what would you name it?
I discovered an animal?
Yeah.
Mate, if you've been thrown off by that one, wait until some of the other questions we've got for you. Oh, you've had it easy.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, would you make something up, or would you name it after someone or something?
I don't know, I might call it like the Bellini or something.
Yeah.
Bellini. That's got a ring to it.
I like that. That's quite nice. I like it.
Question 4: what is your, or who is your favourite artist or band?
I like Oasis.
Good.
And good. I think that I'd say that is probably my favourite band. That's what I listen to most.
No, fair, but I did not think that of you. I really didn't, but I'd got all the time for that.
If I went down all my bands, I've got Oasis definitely the most listened to.
Good lad, got a lot of time for that.
Yeah.
Nice. Straight up, chicken or beef?
Oh, I love a bit of steak, but then I feel like that's more of a treat. Like, I have a chicken meal like every day. So I'd say steak because it's just a treat.
I had steak today, and it certainly was a treat.
Yeah.
I need a mortgage to pay for it. Moving on. What is your favourite colour?
Blue, of course.
Blue. Good lad.
Nike or Adidas?
Nike. All my boots are Nike.
I like this Billy lad, you know, Rob. He's not bad, is he? He's not bad.
Yeah, it's all right.
What is your favourite Christmas film?
Oh, I used to love The Polar Express when I was a kid.
Great choice. Yeah. This could be my favourite guest for answer so far, Rob. He's ticking off everything for me.
Yeah, he's all right, apart from being a blue nose. But
yeah, mate, yeah, Bob, name.
Yeah, true. Phil Neville or Gary Neville?
He's just great on Sky and stuff, but he's just getting too political for me now, so... Phil's a bit boring, isn't he? So I think if we didn't have Gary,
Phil's crap, isn't he?
I think if anyone said Gary. Phil, they've got a problem, haven't they? Like, no one goes, I prefer Phil. Like, even Gary was the better player, never mind a pundit or whatever.
Yeah.
The penultimate question, what is your favourite smell?
Smell. I like the smell of petrol.
Good. Yeah, again. Right. Good. I'd agree with that.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
He's a petrol head.
He certainly is. would you rather
got to be to support Blues, haven't you?
That's how they give the match here. last one here. Would you rather visit the past or the future?
Oh, that is a tough one, you know, because I like my history.
Mm. Okay.
So I'd probably say...
When would you go back to then? What do you like?
Maybe Jesus times.
Jesus times.
See what actually happens.
Like, ah, good.
Okay, nice.
Good lad.
Like, the Bible's... Look like what has it been written off? Like, I want to see who was there and who wrote it.
Yeah, you want to see the facts behind it.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
There was a bloke walking around with a notepad saying, right, I'll make a note and we'll jot this down. Yeah, it was Jim. Walked around the back.
Yeah.
That was it. Taking pictures.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that.
Very good. Well, that is the end of our starting 11 segment. And Robert, I don't know about you, but a lot of the answers I probably would have gave there. And I think potentially my favourite guest in terms of some of the answers we've had there.
Yeah, petrol. That was a question. That was an answer.
It was an answer.
So that it was an answer. It wasn't a question. It was an answer.
Let's move on to some questions, shall we? Obviously, we've got the wonderful Billy Shaw after a very successful season at Worcester City just gone by. And we're just going to ask Billy now a few questions about his career. We'll come straight back to the start. And we'll ask you, Billy, first and foremost. How did you start playing football, maybe from a child? How did you get into the game?
Yeah, so I was probably in my garden. I was playing with my dad and stuff. And then... I think when I was about four, maybe five, went down Hagley Park, joined it with West Hagley team, and then just like every Saturday morning played there, loved it. Just to the park with the mates from school and stuff. And just went from there, really. Joined the Sunday side, started playing Sunday football. That's where I started loving football, yeah. Just playing every week. I just love playing with a ball, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's where the love starts for everyone, really. And then how did you sort of get into that in terms of, you know, the level that you're playing at now? So obviously Hal's Owen and then into Worcester. How did you get into that sort of level of professionalism within football?
So I was always like in and about academies when I was younger. I think I was at Warsaw for about 5-6 years. Had a couple of trials here and there, Albion. And but then when I was 16, I think I joined Hal's Owen Thunder team. My mate just like said, we need a few players, you fancy coming along. I went training when I was 16 and joined the Thunder team and then started like playing all the midweek games, enjoying it, and then playing the 21s as well on the Saturday. And just went from there, really. And then eventually, I think I started training first team, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just stuck my way in.
Yeah.
Nice. And is it right that you're now a bit of a playmaking midfielder? Have you always... have you always wanted to play that role? We ask a lot of guys and they always say that you started as a striker. I mean, have you always played in the position where you are now?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was always centre midfield, like middle of the park.
Yeah,
I feel like, well, to be fair, it's weird because like when I was a youngster, if they needed me to play right back, I'd play right back. I feel like I'm quite versatile.
Yeah.
Like I play a number of positions. But like I'd say, my main position where I think I'm best at is like just off the striker.
Yeah,
I'm feeding through your wing as your striker, maybe chipping in a few goals. But then again, I like that. Sometimes it depends what game it's going, because a lot of time you play as a number 10, and it could be one of them really scrappy games. You're not getting any of the ball, and I'd like to drop deeper and get the ball and start from there. So maybe sometimes as a number 8, like that box to box role, I like that as well. So.
Okay, and
yeah.
So I was just going to say about being more of midfield and then maybe like a creative midfielder. How this might be like quite a big question, but how do you? This is going to sound stupid. How do you create chances? Like, how have you got like? Do you know where guys are going to be? You know, obviously some guys will have more of an idea than not. How do you just do it?
It's, you see the space in behind the defence and you're most try and make that pass for your player to make the run. If they're not making the run, try and make them make it. And you're always trying to, do something different, like it's creativity, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
Make sure the defender doesn't know where you're going to go. Make sure they can't read you. Because sometimes it's obvious just to play a pass where the defender knows where you're going. I think sometimes you open teams up when they don't really know you can't play that pass, when you've seen it 2 seconds before you receive the ball, because you've looked behind and you know where the space is. That makes sense.
That's what I mean.
Knowing what you're going to do before you get the ball and knowing where the player is going to make the run. So like a lot of times it's easy. I know Bailey is going to be on the right. I just take a quick glance. He's making his run before we've even got it. I can just turn and play. That makes sense. So I think sometimes just thinking, like trying to think one step ahead, I think.
I guess a lot of it is about building the relationships with your teammates, isn't it, really? Because if you can anticipate them to make a certain movement, you can already sort of, in the back of your mind, know the way, and that's the pattern of play almost.
Yeah. If you don't know your teammates, you don't know what you're doing, really. What do you do when you get the ball? Like, oh, where do I go? But yeah, I think sometimes beating a player as well takes one player out of the opposition, out of your team as well. So just out of their team. So it just opens the player up for you as well to make better decisions, more options, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And is that like a priority then? The first thing you do, you get your head up maybe and try and look to see who can you connect with and what space is there?
I'd say so. Know your surroundings, yeah. Know where you is there a player behind you? If so, do you play it back or can you turn and play? It's one of them. And then I think like movement's important. So if I do get the ball and play it back, I've got to move again quickly, because that player can, if I'm just standing still, it's easy to mark.
Yeah.
I think a lot of my games this year, I think I ran the most distance because I was moving all the time, trying to get on the ball, trying to get away from a player.
Mm.
I think that's pretty important.
So how do you what am I trying to say? How do you get better then at seeing your surroundings? How do you train this sort of the creativity and almost having a 360 sort of vision? Is it just sort of practice and just thinking?
Coaches try and do it all the time in training, like you have a pass and you go, and it's always check your shoulder before you take it. And I think that's really important, is just checking your shoulder before you receive the ball. But I think a lot of players don't embed it into the game, but I think it's really important, because if you don't check your shoulder as a player behind you, you're just going to get taken out. And especially this season, I think a lot of times, well, I wouldn't say a lot often. Maybe last season, like in training, when I was first broke into like first team football, I'd receive the ball and a player would just come straight through me and take it off of me because I wasn't on my toes. I didn't know who was around me. So I think it's something like I had to adjust all the time and just like always check in. You just do it, start doing it in training in your pre-season and eventually it comes into your games because it, a lot of time if you're not checking your shoulder, especially at the level, you're going to get smashed.
And so growing up and going through the game, did you have any footballing idols? Did you have any guys you watched and took techniques and
more of the Spanish players, so like Fabregas at Arsenal.
Brilliant. Nice.
David Silva at City. Yeah, players like that, like technical, can play quick, can take another touch, can see things that others, like, I don't know, it's pretty boring. But then I've got, like, I like looking at, like, Hazard, like, dribblers, players like that, who, like, just beat players out of nowhere. It's just, like, crazy. Like, that goal he scored against West Ham that time when he took it around, like, three or four players and finished. Yeah, so I'd say players like that.
Nice. And so how would you describe yourself as a player then? I know we've touched on it slightly, but how would you say
I think best attribute is like that creativity. So probably my vision, just to see that pass maybe. But I know a lot of times this year I got moaned at for maybe not playing the right ball or something. It's one of them though, when you're out of position, you do a lot goes on through your mind because you've got so many options sometimes. So I think that is something I can prove, is just knowing my decision-making that final third. But I'd say just I've got decent feet, so I get myself out of tight situations.
Yep.
But yeah, I think I've got pretty good vision, like I can pick a pass that maybe not many people can see in that final third.
I'd
agree with that.
And so on to your career now. Talk to us about your time at Hailzone.
Yes, I think I started the pre-season one when I think we had the first COVID lockdown, and then we were able to play in the summer again, like start pre-season. So I started training with the first team. Then I think I played first pre-season game and played really well. I scored, and then I just never really got going. Like I didn't get as many minutes as I think I would have liked, but I understand why, because I was young. I think I was 18. So I was young. Obviously I had massive experience around how Zoe the amount of money like they put into the club because they wanted to get promoted. So it was hard, and I think I stuck it for about 2 months. So it was till the October time of the season, and I remember I was travelling to Corby twice a week in Cambridge. I was just sitting on the bench and I was just like, I'm desperate to come on. And I think we were at that stage where we weren't winning too many games at the time, and I was thinking, I really want to play. And I feel like if we're losing already, I may as well be playing. Like, there's nothing to lose. Yeah. We weren't losing like, all, every game. You know, we've smashed some teams, and then sometimes it was like Nip and Tuck, and I think, oh, just love to play. Like,
feel like you can make a difference, basically.
Yeah, I remember I came on, I think, in the FA Cup one game against Cambridge away, and I thought, like, I did well, and I thought I could be playing the next game, and I wasn't. And I just said, I really want to play. It's like, I just don't want to sit on the bench. So I think I went to Live for 2 or 3 games as dual reg, and I played like every minute, and I loved it because I was playing men's football. And I was playing well. I think we played like 4-4-2, and I was like one of the two in the middle of the park. And I was loving it. And then obviously I think COVID hit again, went into that second lockdown, so never really got going that year, did I really? And then obviously went back to Hauzo, and we had that little pre-season, didn't we?
Where
just emerged from lockdown, everyone had been vaccinated. Let's just play football. So I think I was playing a few games. I played against Worcester City, Bedworth, teams like that. And I was playing, I played quite a bit of minutes, I think. So I was playing decent. And then I think he got to, they went at pre-season, was actually supposed to happen, and then was still interested. And then at the time, I was thinking a lot of, Jose was signing a lot of players. I thought, I can't have what happened to me last season and waste another year not playing. I want to play football. Like, I hadn't played properly in 2 years because of COVID. No one had. So I wanted to make sure that I was stable and that was going to a place where I'd more likely start. If I was playing well, I would start. And then, yeah, I spoke to Tim at Worcester. And went from there, really.
my next question is really, obviously, you joined Worcester in June 2021. Talk to us a little bit how the move came about. What were the initial conversations that you had with the club?
Yeah, so Howzone offered me a deal at the time. But then I spoke to Tim at Worcester and he offered me something. And like, he sold it to me well, to be fair, that I'll be playing all the time. And he really cares about me. Out of progression, he could really help me and stuff. And then I spoke to Hazard and I was like, look, Worcester have offered me a deal and say I'm going to play football. And for me, it's not about money. It's just, or if Hazard's 5 minutes close to my house, it's about, I just want to play football. And they were like, okay, but you will play and stuff. And I was like, but I can't guarantee that I'm going to play at Howzone, and the amount of midfielders you have. And I think at the time I made the right decision. Howzone said, okay, we'll put you on a contract and you can go on a 6 month loan to Worcester. And then at that end of that loan, I think you could be ready for step four. And I was like, okay, that sounds good to me. And he's like, and they were like, in December, we can review it and see where you're at, see how you're doing and what's best for you. I was like, yeah, okay, that sounds good for me. So then I went to Worcester, and I think it was a good decision because I think I was and then signed a lot of players in my position again. But I was kind of happy.
And how beneficial was it to join that early in pre-season? Because, you know, I mean, I know it's not Premier League level, and you know, I'm not saying it is, but I think, you know, in professional football, a lot of managers like to get their players in early doors so they can get used to the system and get their fitness levels up to a point in which they enjoy. And there's a lot of aspects that are still relatable at this type of level. How beneficial was it for you to join that early in, and how did it help you settle into the group and adapt to the style of play?
Yeah, it got me to know the players straight away. It's easy that you get your group in quicker, they gel quicker. I remember like first 2 weeks or something, went on a trip to Swansea. So we had a big night out in Swansea. So it's like, that's the best way to gel it, really. You'll get a bus down somewhere and have a night out. You can't get much better than that, can you?
At the time of recording this, there's a lot of lads out at the moment. Is it the Gaffer Stag do? Is it or something along those lines? I'm wondering why aren't you there?
No, I'm not there, sadly. But no, a few of them have got out to Portugal.
Yeah.
So it's all good, isn't it? Good laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you mentioned a lot of there about your first season at Worcester. Personally and also collectively, how do you feel that the season went? Obviously, we'll get into the second half of the season for yourself shortly after this question, because I know it was a difficult second half of the season for you, but particularly the first half of the season and the collective season for Worcester, how do you feel the season went?
Yeah, I think personally, first half season, yeah, I don't think it could have gone much better. And collectively as well. I mean, second in the table, at the halfway stage, can't ask too much more except for being top. And then I think overall season, I think the club can be proud because I think it's one of the highest places they've finished in a while at that level. I think it might be the highest place to finish at that level. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
So I think as the club and the fans, they can't ask for too much more. I mean, they can ask for promotion. I mean, I feel like we could have got promoted if we not dropped points in certain games. I think at the start of the season, especially, I think first two games, I think we dropped 4 points from winning positions in the last minute.
So
that's like 4 points there straight away. And the other games, really, I think we should be beating them teams. Stone away, we should be beating, no disrespect to Stone. But beating them kind of teams if you want to get promoted.
I think for Worcester, it's been such a turbulent time over the last few years, as I'm sure you know. And I think I think this is the first season in a long time whereby, whilst of course the club want to be at a high level that they are, I think they can see a real step in the right direction based off last season and a real positivity about the group. A young group of players that are being moulded by Tim, who is an experienced manager, has managed at a much higher level than this. And I think there's a lot of signs to be optimistic. And I think ending the season, as a Worcester supporter myself, whilst maybe we didn't achieve the aims that we wanted to in terms of promotion, it certainly had a feel-good factor to it. And I'm not sure if that's sort of a similar feeling for yourself.
We've gone and won many games this year, and many good away days, many good days at Clanes. And I think Tim's come in, he's brought in a group of players that have really gelled, and it's just created that stability around the club.
I mean,
they're back in Worcester now. A lot of fans have joined this year, I think. I think the numbers have been quite high this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's near enough every game, I think it's been over 400. I don't think one or two in the winter months, that might have been 300. But it's been hitting 700 mark and stuff like that. So obviously the fans have enjoyed themselves. I think a lot of positivity around the club. I mean, the last few months I was in the stands a lot, so I'd speak to a lot of the fans and stuff, and they were happy, I felt. I think collectively the club can be very happy this year. I think the chairman is happy as well, I think, after speaking with him. And he knows it's in the right direction. The last few years has been very unstable at Worcester.
And one of the questions that I referred to, just obviously the second half of the season, for you individually must have been incredibly frustrating. Obviously, a young lad like yourself starting out in the game and hopefully plenty of years left in the game, of course. But a niggling injury, I believe, that kept you out for quite a period of time. I'm not sure on the details, whether it was the same injury or whether it was different. You can sort of expand on that now. But just tell us what happened and how sort of frustrating was that for you not to get involved with the second half of the season, really?
Yeah, it's frustrating. I can't say much more than that. But it's weird because I remember we played a game against Starport Swifts at home. This is like September time. And one of their players has fouled me, like hard challenge, and I've gone up in the air and I've landed on the boat of my back, and it was hard ground at the time in September and the pitch is quite hard, and I felt, stayed down for a couple of seconds. I've got up and I played on fine. And then on the Friday, I think, I had a round of golf with my mates and I couldn't drive the ball. Every time I drove the ball, my back would be feeling weird. It would hurt. I couldn't drive. But then it went. It was just a little niggle. I thought, okay, that's fine. And then I think I played the next 3 months really well until I couldn't play.
Certainly didn't notice a niggle, put it that way.
And then towards December time, I think maybe come home from training, just feel a little niggle here and there, but nothing much. And then I remember after the Lichfield game, last game before Christmas, I couldn't walk the next day. I couldn't move. I was in pain. But I don't know if that was... the back was in pain, but I had COVID as well, so I thought it might just be my joints aching and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Played a game against Solihull Moors and a little in-house friendly. Was aching a little bit, not too bad. Then I played, trained really well, actually. I think we had a Saturday training session in the start of January. I think trained really well, it was fine. Then played Evesham on a Worcester Cup night. And the second half, my back just painful to run. I couldn't run.
Okay.
My back seized up at half time and I couldn't run. So then I said to Tim, I was like, yeah, I'm struggling with my back. He took me off and then I think I said to him, just give me a couple of weeks just to rest up and then hopefully come back again. And I think came back for Shifnal away, I've got a feeling. And I shouldn't have come back, to be honest. I was in agony playing, especially the first half. I was in so much pain playing, but I think at the time we kind of needed, I think we were lacking midfielders or something. We lacking squad depth, I think, because we had a couple of injuries and stuff. And then, saw a specialist with there, and he said I had something wrong with me, like a joint sprain in my back, and it would take 4 to 5 weeks to repair.
Okay. Just natural healing, I assume. Just healing.
Yeah, so. I spoke to Tim. I just said that I've got a sprain joint. I think I need 4 to 5 weeks off, I've been told. And then 4 or 5 weeks ended, and I could still feel it. I came back again against Lye. And then at that point, my back felt fine. My back felt like fully repaired, sort of thing.
Mm.
But my hamstring was like, felt like it was being shot.
Wow.
Every time I was running, it felt like I was being shot. And yeah, I also had other problems like with my body from it as well. But I think it was all nerves related.
Okay.
So I think, it really worried me, to be honest, because I didn't know what was happening. I saw a doctor and he didn't really know. And then in the end, I went to private and got an MRI scan because I just wanted to know. And on the scan, he couldn't find anything wrong with my back except for slight inflammation on that certain area where I was feeling pain. Because I'd go to bed and I'd be in pain, like my whole from my back to my hip. I couldn't sleep on one side. And he said that he thinks I've got a stress fracture.
Okay.
Caused by like overplaying and stuff like that. And he said I could have had it when I was a teenager. And then that fall that I had back in September might have
triggered something.
Triggered, yeah, like accelerated the process.
Yeah.
So then I phoned Tim, I was like, look, I've got a stress fracture. I don't know how long it could be near enough repaired now, but I don't want to play in a couple of weeks' time when I'm in no pain.
It's not healed.
Not fully healed. So I said, I think it's just best if I take the rest of the season off and so I can go again next season. And like, Tim was really good with it. Like he said, you've got your whole career ahead of you. Back injuries as well, they could turn to something worse and more permanent. So yeah, I was really frustrated, but it's one of them. People get setbacks, and I think it's how you come back from that. I've had my rest period now. Pre-season's what, a month, 2 months away maybe? A month and a half, whatever.
Yeah, it's a real good chance for you to recover, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really good chance for me to recover and maybe get going in next month, just before pre-season, to get my fitness levels back up so I'm sharp.
So during all this, are you in contact with Hell's Own at all as well?
No.
Okay. I mean, is that...
Simple as...
Is that obviously I'm not trying to stir anything up, is that something you should they be in contact, should they be
is that standard procedure?
I think they should be. I'm their player, I'm contracted. They should be.
I mean, do they know about the injury?
They should see me not being on a team sheet.
Okay.
To be fair, the chairman texted me once saying I'm really injured. I told him about it. I didn't know about it, but apart from that, I haven't really spoken too much to him.
Okay.
So the manager hasn't spoken to me. Only the chairman really, and the secretary, because of like contract situations, stuff like that kind of thing. But no, I haven't spoken, which is quite disappointing really, but it's one of the things, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, sorry. Like I said, I'm not trying to like start anything. I just wonder
they definitely know about it, but I haven't really I haven't heard much of them, which is what it is.
Okay. This is something you mentioned as well about your training. It just I was just personally interested. We always hear footballers in the cell, you know, did really well in training. What does that mean? How do you do well in training? How do you think you do well in training as well? What does that actually mean?
I think getting on the ball all the time. You look like you're getting on the ball and making things happen training. Keeping the ball. Because training, Worcester's training is intense. You have to have like 5-a-side or 7-a-side, whatever it is. I can't think. They would just be like really close, tight games. If you're pass moving, two touch, scoring goals, like stuff like that, then you're doing really well. If you're getting stuck in, you're talking, you just energy. I think training is just like, the players, intense. I feel like they do most well most training sessions. the demanding the ball. Yeah, I think.
Is it showing like a willingness, basically?
Yeah, like harder you work, I think, in training, the better you are, the better you'll be. Better you play. That's what I think, isn't it? Especially at, I think, like, training sessions 100 miles an hour. So I feel like you can't hide in training.
Yeah.
If you aren't pulling your weight, I think someone would tell you, come on, work harder, kind of thing. So that's what I think.
Okay.
Everyone has training sessions where they're giving the ball away a lot or not really getting on the ball. But I think if you give the ball away, it's what you do next.
How do you get it back?
Willingness to get the ball back. Make sure the next pass is right.
Okay, nice. Well, thank you for answering that. Do you set yourself any targets before the start of a season? I know the last few seasons may be a little bit, disrupted, but...
I never had before, but when I joined Worcester, I was like... So I know I've got 6 months. Let's set myself targets for 6 months. And I've got a whiteboard, and I actually wrote stuff down on it. Like, I saw this video of Jesse Lingard doing it when he went on the West Ham. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to do that for just this first 6 months.
And what was on the whiteboard, if you don't mind me asking?
So I think I put down goals, of course.
I think
I put 7.
Okay.
So I think I put starts, I wanted 20, I think.
Yeah.
No, I think it's 17 starts, because I think you have about 20-ish games.
Okay.
So I think I put 17 starts. I think I got 20. Goals, I put 7. I think I got 6.
Mm.
Assists, I put 5. I got 10, I think. 9 or 10. Well, 9 and the penalty one, so I'd say that's 10.
If it's fantasy football, it is, it must be.
And put opposition man of the matches, because you get them in middle.
Okay.
I put us 3, and I think I got like 5 in the first couple months. And then I think I put shots on target, but I didn't really follow that one, to be fair, because I think it didn't start very well with that one.
like a Voptor at this level.
I can't think if there's anything else. I think that was about it. And then after every game, I have a notes page on your phone, and I'd put what I did in the game, so goals, assists, and then rate myself out of 10.
It's good. It's very critical, but it also gives you obviously it's quite obvious that you're giving yourself an objective to strive towards, which isn't unusual. But I think also to almost be critical of yourself. But, you know, you mentioned game by game, typing down what you did, because that can be quite critical. Because I mean, not that you had many bad performances for Worcester, but if there were any performances that you thought could have done that better, you're putting that down and you're almost doing a bit of self-reflection, aren't you?
Yeah. I think the good thing about it, that near enough every game, I think I either contributed with a goal or an assist, or got a opposition player a match from a personal point of view. So I was always on a notes page, look on it. I've near enough got something down near enough every time. Maybe a couple of ones I didn't quite contribute as much, but not every game. A lot of games at the level can be scrappy and don't get the ball too much and stuff like that. So
it's
one thing, isn't it? So I think it's important. Like once you've had a game, it's like you can't stop there. What can I do better next game?
And do you ever get feedback from others on your performances as well?
Yeah,
I'm sure Tim does.
Yeah.
Sometimes. No, my dad a lot, to be fair. One of them.
Okay.
He's always watched every game, and so it's always like, good job I can drive now because I don't have to get in the car home with him or something. the thing is, he tells me when I play well and he tells me when I play bad. It's one of them. So
anyone with my honest opinion, you don't want him to give you a false outlook on your game. If you're playing bad, you want him to tell you, don't you?
You can't always you gotta take the rough and the smooth, haven't you? It's like one of them. But he knows when I play well, he knows when I play bad. I think I do sometimes. But I think sometimes you need to be told for you to like realise.
So would you say you've taken anything from the season just gone by? Is the one thing you've learned from it?
I feel like you get experience during the just playing without you knowing a lot of the time.
Mm.
I think you learn to adapt to games. Like, I was like all from a youth football all until I was 18, and then like maybe first season of men's football was always about like pass. Like, I don't know, just like all everything on the floor. And then like I joined Worcester, the Midland Prem. Every goal kicks long.
Yeah,
like, it's like why did I grow up with all play short from the back, right midfielder, receive on the half turn.
Yeah.
And it's like completely different. It's like, okay, so the ball's going along, it's going on to centre half's head. Where's he going to head the ball for me to pick the ball up?
Second ball, basically.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. It's like, okay, thinking where this ball is going to land. Okay, that centre half slow. Is that ball going to go over him? Can I get him behind? It's just like, stuff like that. I think you just got to think more. Instead of, I think first few games, I was running around too much trying to get the ball. When really I had to stand there and I was in that space and the ball can just come to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think like maybe game-wise, like, I don't know, like intelligence. Intelligence, I'd say.
Adaptability as well.
Yeah, yeah. And also like seeing games out and stuff, because I was always taught like see games out by keeping the ball and stuff like that. But last minute again, take it into the corner. Stuff like that. Go down injured. Like, I remember, I think Highgate at home, I shielded the ball in the corner and it should have been a corner and they gave a goal kick and they went up the run and scored. Well, why don't I just go down and pretend I was injured or something?
Game management.
Game management kind of thing. I could have just done that and then would have got us 3 points. But yeah, I think it's just experience really for me.
No, it's a fair point, because you are still a young player in your career, and ultimately these loan moves are to improve you not only as a player, but most importantly probably is the mental aspect of it, and learn from your mistakes almost. Yeah, you're a young player, and I'm sure a lot of those Worcester players, again, not that they made many this season, but will have been allowed to make those mistakes to be better from it at the end of it.
Yeah, like, I think I could have been sitting on the bench somewhere, but what would I have learned from that? Like, I feel like you learn more playing football, like more minutes, more experience. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got there's one last question on my sheet, but I'm going to throw one in there. There were some points early on in the season, Billy, which we saw you with silver hair, which drawn comparisons to a certain England superstar by the name of Phil Foden. Talk to us about how that came about, because I know there's a few people who'd want me to ask that question.
So I'm trying to think. I think we got to the final, didn't we? The World Cup, Euro.
Yeah.
And my mum, I had a bet of like my mate. I was like, oh yeah, if we win it, I'd dye my hair Foden, because when Foden first had it, everyone's like, oh, what's he doing? I said it to my mum. She goes, you ain't dyeing your hair. And then my mum's an hairdresser. She sent me a text with a bottle of dye or something. And goes, doing this for the final. And I was like, yeah, right. Day before the final, I just did it. And I think we had a game against Evesham at home in the pre-season friendly, and I didn't tell anyone. I just turned up with it. walked in the change rooms, and then there was a picture with me and Tim in the background, and everyone said, I've copied the gaffer's hair.
Brilliant. It was certainly looking, and you certainly play in the same position in a certain manner, so it didn't look out of place, believe me, although some of your teammates might have suggested otherwise. And the last question from me, Billy, before we let you go, and it is a bit of a maybe more of a serious question. So obviously really off the back of a really productive spell at Worcester last season, where do you see your future, next season? Is a return to Worcester on the cards? You know, maybe a bit of an exclusive for the podcast, maybe, or is your intention maybe to go back to Hal's Owen or maybe find a move at another club, maybe further up the ladder? Have you had any conversations with anyone as of yet?
Well, I can't say much. I can't do much at the minute because I'm still under contract. So I think next Saturday, maybe, I think my contract runs out. So
okay.
I think no clubs can approach me for 2 weeks or something like that. And if Hal Zoe make me another deal, I think it's like a comp theme or something that the other club would have to pay if they want me. So yep. It's one of the things where I can't really discuss too much. Wherever I do play football next year, I'm going to be playing for. I know I'm going to be playing for a club where I am going to be playing football week in, week out. That's what I'm going to make sure of. I'm not going to be. I feel like I've wised up, where I ain't going to be told that I'm going to be playing football when I'm not. If that makes sense, like. I need to know that I'm playing week in, week out. And obviously, if I'm playing shit, then I don't deserve to be playing. It's one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
But no, I want to be like one of the first, try and get one of my first names on the team sheet, because I think that's the most important thing for me. And obviously, whereas the other side of things, I do want to play as high as I can. But
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens in the next few weeks, really. I can't say too much more because...
No, of course. In terms of... you mentioned that the Hal Zone contract situation there. Is the ball very much in your court, whether you agree to sign a deal, or is it something that Hal Zone have to activate from the end and that's just done? How does that work at that level?
I think they've got 2 weeks to offer me a new contract.
Okay. And is that down to you to accept, I assume? And
then it's down to me to accept. This is what I've been told from Worcester Secretary. So, and then if they have put an improved offer in from my one that I had last year, then the club, another club would have to pay compensation fee if they want me and I want to go there. That's how it works.
So you don't necessarily have to agree to the next contract from Hal Zone.
No, but I feel like we'll just see what happens at the end of the day.
Yeah,
everything can be sorted out anyway. I don't know. I haven't had any conversations with house owners yet. So it's just one of them things.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I might get a phone call after this. I don't know.
No, well, I don't think you'll be short on offers based off certainly one half of the season. I know you was written off for the second half. Yeah, but
exactly. I think I did enough first half of the season for me to get a club next year anyway. So
we'll see what happens. No, I appreciate your honesty on that. It's a difficult talking point for sure. But listen, thank you for being very honest. Thank you for joining us today, Billy. Really appreciate you spending some of your time and coming on the High Press. Rob, have you got any final questions for Billy?
No, I'm just going to say thank you for being very honest as well. Really enjoyed this one.
Cheers. Brilliant.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, Billy.
All right, guys. Have a good evening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the High Press Podcast. We really hope that you've enjoyed the episode today. We'll be really, really grateful if you could leave a review on your preferred podcast provider, whether that be iTunes or whether that be Spotify or Google or whoever it might be, just so people can find our episode a little bit more easily.
Yeah, and go ahead and follow us on our social medias at the High Press Pod. We're on Twitter and Instagram, where we're going to be announcing all of our guests, any updates, and just generally, that's where you can find us.
Right, thank you guys, and we'll see you soon.